This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. Subscribe to the podcast Beyond Politics. They host some of the biggest names and smartest minds. Beyond Politics is from a former Democratic congressman who helped ignite Barack Obama's campaign and a former campaign manager and political columnist. They go beyond the usual chatter on politics, news, science, and books. It's politics and everything beyond. On Beyond Politics, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Broadcasting live on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, as well as WCPT 820, Chicago's Progressive Talk. In the evening, it is the Matt McNeil Show here on your Friday. Good to have you with us today, Matt and Patrick, guest-free today. I got Olivia Rodrigo coming up at the end of the four. Patrick, how are you today?
Doing pretty well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's an absolutely spectacular day in the Twin Cities, so I hope you're having a good weekend no matter what you're in for. I'm frustrated because, okay, so I have been getting, no ex-girlfriend has been hounding me. Like Verizon has been hounding me to upgrade my phone. And you know, and Patrick, for the folks in Chicago who don't know, there is a weird thing that happened 4 years ago. I started taking photos when we were in the pandemic and I would go to parks and I'd take photos and we ended up doing a calendar that year and it is like wildly popular. So I take photos and I did this. The concept that is not to do it on a really nice camera because there are some really great cameras, but it's more in the vein of I want to just do it like anyone could do it and then show you the pictures of it and kind of encourage everyone to go on out there, get into your parks, your city parks, your state parks, your county parks, your U.S. park system. They're fantastic. It is one of the greatest things about America that we have all these parks that you can go to. And even your local community parks are just fantastic. A lot of them, I think people drive past them all the time and they don't realize how great they are. Anyway, that aside. So Verizon has been kind of being a dinkus in that they've been selling me only about 800 e-texts a day saying, you want to upgrade now? 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 And so I decided to go along with it. And you know what these SOBs have done. Oh, can I just, Patrick, it's not gone well. Because you know why? They changed the damn plug-in again.
Oh, no.
What? What are you doing? I mean, dear God, I mean, NASA sent spaceships up to the moon and basically used the same stuff for 20 years. And you guys can't go 5 years without changing your damn plugs. Ugh. Hey, the changeover has gone pretty well. I will say that. The changeover has gone pretty well, but I had to go over to, the Nerd Farm, a.k.a. Micro Center. And I got to go in there and, whoa, okay, all right. Hi, guys. How you doing? You see that big thing in the sky? It's called the sun. Just try to get into it a little bit, all right? Just try to work. Do you like Micro Center?
I don't. Never been in one. I know where it is. Oh, yeah. I had to do a little bit of upgrading to my technology recently, too. And so I ended up just at the Best Buy, which beside the point.
Oh, no.
That's kind of
A Best Buy. This is like I'm Richard Dreyfuss at the end of Close Encounters of the Third Kind with all the alien creatures. Hello, human. You know, it's like it's one of those things. It reminds me of one of the funniest stories with my son. And we just had to record an ad with my son, Patrick and I. And so because my son's getting ready to graduate. When Charlie was young, we used to do summer camps. And we let them pick, you know, and each one of these camps was 1-2 weeks. You got to pick a camp. My son looks at us and said, oh, we're thinking baseball camp, something like this. And he said, I'm going to do a chess camp. I said, really? Have you ever played chess? Not really. But how hard could it be? Okay, that was fun. So he decides he's going to go do chess camp. And so I take him to chess camp. And I'm not joking when I say, think of the stereotypical kid going to a chess camp. Yeah, it was that bad. One kid, it was summer. One kid gets out of the car wearing a vest with a tie. With a tie. They're bringing in their, like, engraved chess sets and all this stuff.
I was going to say, I mean, they had one of those old, like, one-piece swimsuits with the stripes that men used to wear way back in the day.
That it was they were properly dressed for something, I don't know. Here comes Charlie wearing shorts and a t-shirt and a baseball cap. And so he goes on in. I pick him up after the first day. And he goes, Dan? Now, this is like, I think he was 9 or 10 at the time. So the self-awareness, I can't tell you how much I'm proud of him on that. He looks at me and goes, Dad, I'm not really cool, but all these kids think I'm the coolest kid they've ever met in their life. It's one of the children that goes outside, tell us what it's like out there. Oh, God. It was... I can't tell you how hard I laughed after that, because that's exactly what I was like. I mean, my son just basically validating it for me was just, yeah, all right. He actually had fun in chess camp. He only won one game in chess camp while he was there. He only won one game, but that one, and he did say it, because I really feel sorry, because the kid he beat was like 4 years younger than him. And he's like, yeah, I think that's checkmate. And that kid was like ruined because of this. I mean, think of, you know, the team that lost in Hoosiers. That sort of loss. I can just see the kids staring off into the distance as Dad comes in. Father, I don't know what my existence is anymore. Please take my engraved thermos and put it back in the thermos holder in the trunk. That was me going to Micro Center. It's like, dude, I'm not the coolest guy, but man, I'm freaking Keith Richards in this place. I got my stuff and I got out of there. But thanks. Thank you for the phone that requires me to basically upgrade everything. Now I know why you want to be. Now I know why you wanted me to do all that. Now I get it. Now you sons of, oh, thank you. Oh. It is pretty, though. It is a pretty one. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Yeah, why not? We go, Hope Hicks is testifying. Let's just, well, might as well go into the Trump trial. He is not happy his girlfriend got called out there. He is not happy at all about that. And yeah, I don't care. It's I think it's kind of clear what's going on with that. Basically, he kind of throws a temper tantrum at, you know, during the lunch break. First of all, it started off the day with him basically being called out by the judge, because he's out there saying, this gag order prevents me from getting up there and testifying in the trial. There is not a chance in hell that Donald Trump is going to testify in this case. That would be a nightmare. He can't even stay awake. You don't know what the heck he's even going to say. And so it's kind of one of those things where there is no way in the world. There is no way in the world that he's going to go out there. But he goes out there and he tells people, oh, well, I can't do this. He's presenting it as I'm being stopped from testifying in his behavior. Well, the judge basically called him out today. He called him out today and said, no, I want to make sure you're very clear. You can testify if you want to testify. And by the way, I understand exactly why the judge did this. You know, you do not want an appeal on the fact that he has misunderstood this. So he's basically looking at Donald Trump and saying, I've got a gag order for your behavior outside of this court, but in this court, you have the right to get on that chair and testify. So I don't want you thinking, I want to make sure you understand that gag order does not stop you from testifying. And he scolded him right in front of right in front of to Trump's face, which was kind of good. During the lunch break, he was so upset about this. He went into his Truth Social and started screaming, this is a trial. It's a political campaign, a witch hunt, just like the highly conflicted. He's like every other senior now. His cap lock is stuck. biased judge. Oh, so yeah, he's going after the judge again. That's going to go well. He continued. He said these 8-year-old stories, which came out prior to the 2016 election, the voters have already and loudly spoken. No, no, you freaking idiot. Although I have no doubt that this has already done what he intended to do. And I'm pretty sure you're probably seeing MAGA people saying, everybody knew about this prior to the election. No, that's the point. They knew about the Access Hollywood tape, but the paying off of Stormy Daniels was done to prevent this from coming out prior to the election because they were terrified it was going to happen. It did not come out until later because Donald Trump paid off a porn star to stop her from blabbing about the fact that he got her to spank him with a magazine with his face on it while his wife was at home with their newly born baron. Yeah, he really loves that kid. Please. And mind you, this is also, we've learned about the Karen McDougal, he had a long-term affair with a Playboy model. And yeah, I get you want to sit there and say, well, just because he's a big wheeler dealer. I'll tell you what, why don't you go to your wife and say that. Say, hey, if I get a Playboy model that wants to have an affair with me for 8 years, is that okay with you? Because, you know, you just make sure you have your medical card handy because the next thing you're going to be doing is spitting out chiclets. All right, let's just be honest about it. But he's blowing his top because of what, you know, the fact that they've you know, they're calling him out. And this is all out there. Hope Hicks will be remembered as the key witness for both sides. She testified as prosecutors expected about the effects of Access Hollywood tape on the campaign, noted that Trump was a micromanager who closely supervised everything around him and acknowledged that it would seem unbelievable that Cohen would pay hush money to Stormy Daniels of its own accord. But she also may have helped the defense, giving them grist to argue that Trump was a family man, that his motive for... he's a family man, kind of like, you know, Hannibal Lecter was peckish. And that his motive for suppressing damaging stories may not have been the win for the election. Rather, they could argue that it had been something more personal to protect his relationship with his family and his wife, who, by the way, he was sleeping around with a porn star who he paid to spank him with a magazine with his face on that magazine. It's not as bad as a guy from New Orleans who basically paid the hooker with the diaper thing. Yikes. Yikes. Trump is very unhappy as he leaves. It'll be really interesting to see how Hicks features to both sides' closing arguments. But the reality is that, you know, Hicks only goes so far when the entire point of the case is he's paying off a porn star that he was having an affair on. Don't talk about being a family man. And by the way, this is the New York Times, and, you know, yeah, the Times is broken. But, you know, they sit there and they act as if you know, this is, oh, he's a family, this might come across as a family man. Do you pay attention to anything else that's being said in this trial, for God's sakes? He's not a family man. And my guess is he's more upset because his girlfriend was called in to basically have to testify. And you know, hey, there were rumors, and they were very close. Yeah. You can smell the ketchup on her. We'll take a break. It's the Matt McNeil Show. It's the Matt McNeil Show on your Friday. Good to have you with us today. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let me just, because I was talking about the New York Times and the way the New York Times is, oh, you know, this might have helped him. Okay, did you hear the testimony from the first two guys? When they're talking about him paying off affairs left and right? Sure, family man. Yeah. For God's sakes. The Times is wrong. I'm going to give you another example. The New York Times is definitely pushing an agenda at this point. And I'm going to give you a story that has nothing to do with politics, but, well, kind of a little bit to do with politics, but it really isn't. But it is, within minutes of getting the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine, Michelle Zimmerman felt pain racing from her left arm up to her ear and down her fingertips. Within days, she was unbearably sensitive to light and struggled to remember simple facts. She was 37, has a PhD in neuroscience, and until then could ride a bicycle 20 miles, teach a dance class, and give a lecture on artificial intelligence all in the same day. Now, more than 3 years later, she lives with her parents, eventually diagnosed with brain damage. She cannot work, drive, or even stand for long periods of time. When I let myself think about the devastation of what it's done to my life and how much I've lost, sometimes it feels even too hard to comprehend, said Dr. Zimmerman, who believes her injury is due to a contaminated vaccine badge. Now, obviously, horrible what's happened to this individual. Horrible. I'm going to share with you, my mom had a COVID vaccine reaction. And as a matter of fact, it was in October of 22 when we went down and visited her in South Carolina, that we went there, and before I got there, I got a call from my sister-in-law, and she said, I want to get you prepared to see your mom. So why? What's wrong? And what we'd found out is, she got the vaccine, and immediately she had a reaction to where everything tasted horrible. Everything tasted horrible. She just was not eating. It was almost like she had COVID. And I was like, well, did she get COVID? And she goes, no, she didn't. She just the vaccine. And she went down to the doctors in Savannah, Georgia, and was getting treated there. Eventually, it came back. Her sensitization came back, and things changed. But she had lost an insane amount of weight because this had happened. She herself says undoubtedly that happened. But she's no idiot. She has since then gotten the, talking to the doctors, they've gotten the COVID vaccines ever since. She knows that it's not one of those things where she walked away from it. She understood that was a one-time deal for her, and they have basically, she's been able to get her vaccines ever since. But she did have it, and it was a bit of a family scare, to say the least. Now, that being said, there's undeniably with any vaccine, there is always going to be some level of people who have an adverse reaction to it. Now, some of the people, I went to try to find that one woman who was doing the weird twitching videos. Her accounts don't even seem to exist anymore because I think she's realized that eventually that she was going to have to do this for the rest of her life and, to put forward what clearly looked like, as medical professionals were calling her out, these don't look like legitimate symptoms of anything outside of trying to convince people that vaccines are bad. I also want to make sure I mention, too, that every time anyone dies of anything, a plane crash, a heart attack, they were shot, they were dealing with cancer for a long time, the first words out of anti-vax corners of social media is, COVID vaccine takes another life, every single time. And the reason why they say this is because they themselves know the success rate of the COVID vaccine. If I may continue with the story, the COVID vaccines, a triumph in science and public health, are estimated to have prevented millions of hospitalizations and deaths. Yet even the best vaccines produce rare but serious side effects. And the COVID vaccines have been given to more than 270 million people in the United States in nearly 677 million doses. Dr. Zimmerman's account is among a more harrowing, but thousands, not millions, thousands of Americans believe they suffered serious side effects following COVID vaccination. As of April, 13,000 vaccine inquiry compensation claims have been filed with the federal government, but to little avail. Only 19% have been reviewed. 47% of those were deemed ineligible, so they're kind of more of a failure of the system. But 13,000 is the important number there. 13,000 people have filed claims that they had bad reactions to the COVID vaccine. 270 million people got the vaccine. Maybe it's time for a little Matt's Math Corner, which would be, if I'm not mistaken, if I know how to do the math here, 13,000 divided by 270 million equals, wow, that's not a lot. That is 0.004%. 0.004%. It is a minuscule amount. Now, once again, I am not dismissing or ignoring what happened to Dr. Zimmerman, what happened to my mom, what's happened to 13,000, maybe 20,000 people in this, that this COVID vaccination, what they, there was a negative reaction to it. But you cannot deny, and you, and for the people that hate the vaccines, they have to ignore the amount of people who have gotten it. This is why they say that anytime anyone dies, oh, that clearly was COVID. They were shot 16 times. Well, that's the COVID vaccine for you. That's what they say. Why? Because undeniably the COVID vaccine was a success. But for their argument to have any validity, there's got to be a heck of a lot more than 13,000 victims to it. So that's why they lie. I don't blame the New York Times for necessarily talking about this, but when your own article leads me to ask the question right away, it's like, what are you doing here? It's okay, it's an interesting side note, but clearly the bigger story here is the undeniable success of the COVID vaccinations. That the COVID vaccine saved millions of people, prevented tens and twenties of millions of people from going to the hospital for an extended period of time. I said during the COVID time, I don't want you sick, I don't want you dead, and I don't want you bankrupt for the rest of your life with medical debt. How many people prevented from having to see their entire life savings wiped out with medical debt? It undeniably is a good thing. But yet, they seem to want to focus on the incredibly small 0.004%. And that doesn't dismiss anyone that had a reaction. Like I said, my own mom did. But I can look at this whole thing and see, well, this is a lot more hubbub than bub. All right, so this is what I'm talking about. New York Times, something seriously wrong with you at this point, and I'm kind of done with you. We'll take a break, come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Broadcasting in the evenings on WCPT 820 Chicago's Progressive Talk, as well as in the afternoons here in Minneapolis, St. Paul on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday, 952-946-6205. So two quick little things here I'll talk about in the next segment. First of all, so a few weeks ago, remember when Trump went to the GOP? GOP, you need to do something with my Truth Social stock. It's falling. You know what? I mean, I talked about how about the fact that they were trying to inflate the cost of it because a lot of these idiots bought this thing at 70 and it was down to, I think it was in the 20s for a little bit, and they desperately want to get it back up to at least some point where they can all quickly sell it and get some of their money back and then get rid of it. That is kind of what you're, the short selling of it. The, when he was telling that to the GOP, he wasn't telling them that because he expected them to pass a bill. He was telling the GOP, you need to go, each one of you politicians need to go buy my stock. And I think they did. And I think that, you know, if this is not a big surprise. I mean, Donald Trump's already talked about how he wants a tribute from any, you know, Republican in the country. They need to pay him money for his expenses if they're running on the GOP ticket because he's their big helper, big boy helper. And so he's just looking for ways to basically get money. We talked about this because when Truth Social went public, it was really grossly overpriced. It had not made any money. It didn't really have it was way down on subscribers. There really weren't that many unique visitors to the site. It really was insanely overvalued. To a point where immediately I was like, that's not worth it. I mean, Reddit, to give a comparison, Reddit was was in a far better financial situation and a far better user situation, and they were like one third the amount of initial price of offering for Truth Social was. And so it was clear they inflated it so Donald Trump could have a headline saying he's worth $7 billion. Actually, $4 billion, I think, was what his worth was. $4 billion. And then all of a sudden he was not worth $4 billion. I think he was down to $980 million, which, if you think about that kind of a fall, that was pretty impressive. But needless to say, they basically pushed everyone to go and go buy it again, and short, you know, sellers. And needless to say, it's not worth it. Eventually, my guess is when Donald Trump loses in November, that stock will tumble. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of Republicans who basically lost a lot of money because, you know, you're idiots. That's not a stock. It's not a stock I would ever buy, ever buy. And that's not me saying it because I just don't like Donald Trump. It's saying it because it's not worth what it's saying it's worth when you look at the rest of the market and what it's trying to compare itself to. I mean, it's basically someone taking a pair of high tops and spray painting them gold and putting a Trump on it and saying, well, they're super duper sneakers now. That's exactly what it is. The auditing firm for Trump Media, the auditor's owner, were charged Friday with massive fraud. Yep. As advertised. Correct again, sir. The SEC, for accounting work that affected more than 1,500 SEC filings, basically they lied about what the value of the company was. The auditor, B.F. Borgers, CPA, and its owner, Benjamin Borgers, have agreed to permanently suspend from practicing as accountants before the SEC. How bad do you have to be before they take away your little green visor? And they agreed to pay a combined $14 million in civil penalties without admitting or denying the allegations. Oh, no, you can't work in the industry ever again. So, yeah, the agency calling B.F. Borgers a sham audit mill, you think? So the company, its owners, deliberately, systematically failed to conduct audits and quarterly reviews incorporated in more than 1,500 SEC filings from January 2021 to June 2023 in accordance with the Public Companies Accounting Oversight Board statistics. Yeah, that's the ticket. You need those numbers? Oh, here's some numbers on some paper. There you go. I can see Donald Trump like, look, they gave me numbers. I've got numbers. Whee! The SEC said the Lakewood, Colorado-based auditor lied to clients by saying its work complied with standards, fabricated audit documents to make it seem like the work did comply with those standards, and falsely claims in audit reports included more than 500 public company SEC filings for the firm's audits compiled with such standards, a.k.a. Truth Social is not the only one that got the treatment. During the period covered by the SEC complaint, acted as the auditor for Trump Media, which was then privately held and moving towards planned merger with the publicly shell company Digital World Acquisition. Trump Media finalized the merger in late March 2022, and that's when they got listed as DJT on the ticker. 3 days after the company went public, Trump Media's board approved hiring B.F. Borgers as the company's auditors for 2024. So, good job, guys. Ben Borgers and his firm, B.F. Borgers, were responsible for one of the largest wholesale failures by gatekeepers in our financial markets. Basically, a lot of people, yeah, you got screwed. But once again, what did Donald Trump do when this started coming to light? Hey, GOP, you need to bail me out because I need to make money on this. So I need all of you guys to buy 1,000 shares. I have zero. By the way, I have zero doubt that Donald Trump has told the GOP has told them that they all need to go buy shares in his stock. Zero doubt. If you're a good Republican, you know what you need to do. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So yesterday I was talking about, you know, old Yeller herself over there in South Dakota, Kristi Noem. And you know how the last week or so we've kind of giggled and laughed about the fact that she herself shared this story, thinking it was going to make her look like the tough lady from South Dakota is going to be the toughest vice presidential candidate, and all she looks like now is a dog murderer. And by the way, once again, what about the goat? It's kind of funny how all of a sudden we want to skip past the fact that Even she admitted, I just didn't like the goat and took it to the gravel pit and shot it in the face. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what about the goat? I hope. What about the goat? She just wants to skip past that now. But she is, you know, a dog killer. And that's just, and you can try to spin that any way you like to. You basically decided that because you suck at training a dog, you've decided to shoot it rather than basically take responsibility for yourself, which once again, yeah, that's not a good trait with someone in the VP spot, but I'm just going to let you know. I mean, if God forbid they win and she was the vice presidential candidate and they said, hang Mike Pence, or they said, hang Kristi Noem at the next Trump mob, would she say, let me show you how to do it correctly? I mean, it's, I kind of wonder a little bit. But needless to say, I've been talking about the demise of her, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me last night. I said, holy crud, you want to know the truth is, right now, I guarantee in the Republican ranks, there's a lot of Republicans who are incensed that the woke mob and the liberals and the media dare report the story she freely admitted to in her book. And are getting that, well, you are so, we're going to show you. We're going to show you. It's that. It's, they don't hear she shot a dog in the face anymore. It's how dare they turn on her. I don't think she's out of the running for the VP. I do. As a matter of fact, the more I think about it, the more I think she probably still is the front runner. Because they really are that stupid. But what drives them is not quality and competence. What drives them is the demand that, you know, it's like those guys out in Washington State, the Republicans out there that don't want to refer to it as the United States as a democracy anymore because they feel that gives credits to the Democrats. So we only can refer to it as a republic. So that gives country, the Republicans. It's that kind of pettiness and smallness. And that is what drives them. So, I think she still is the front runner. Amid more damning revelations from her soon-to-be-released book, embattled South Dakota Republican Governor Kristi Noem will head to Mar-a-Lago this weekend as ex-President Trump auditions potential VP picks in front of high-dollar donors. Boy, that's dignity, isn't it? All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have Kristi come on out for the swimsuit competition. Dear Lord. Are they... are they going to be putting dollar bills in their swimsuits? Yeah, Tim Scott might want to get some pockets there. I'm just going to let you know. So, it's basically a meat wagon. Noem was also slated to attend the Republican fundraiser in Colorado this weekend, but that they did cancel over alleged concerns that she bragged about shooting a 14-month-old dog. Well, Noem's shooting to death of her wired hair pointer, Cricket, which she detailed in the book, is still making headlines overnight. A new revelation was made. Noem falsely claims in her book that she met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Yeah. Now, I've seen the haircuts of South Dakota. Maybe she just was... Never mind. Sorry. It's not the fashion capital you think it is. It really... I mean, most of the people actually... When I see Kim Jong-un, I see, well, looks like a South Dakota farmer. Yeah, I'm just going to say. Noem falsely claims in her book she met North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. A spokesperson from Noem seemed to concede that the Kim story was false Thursday night and notified her publisher, Politico's Ryan Lizza, reported on it as an exclusive. But less appears to be the factual text of Noem's false story, which she brands children the ministered in church, little tyrants, and then compared them to murderous North Korean dictator who she said she met. Through my tenure on the House Armed Services Committee, Noem wrote, according to Politico, I had the chance to travel to many countries and meet with world leaders. I remember when I met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. I'm sure he underestimated me, after all, having no clue about my experience staring down little tyrants. I'd been a children's pastor, after all. Are all the kids accounted for? Did any of the kids go to the gravel pit? Calling the children from her church group little tyrants. Oh, God. Oh, God. And she compared the kids from her church group to a dictator in North Korea. Yeah, you know, it's, you know, I think, did she just think that this book would only filter through Republicans that agreed with Trump? I'm wondering, I mean, who proofread this? I mean, seriously, who proofread this book and said, oh, when did you, because I've had three people ask me to proofread a book and help them out because of various things. And they ask me, they tell me when they want you to read it, said, I want you to basically tell me if you see something that doesn't add up. And I have done that multiple times. I've read through it. I said, well, that doesn't make any sense. That's not right. And I've corrected this. And, you know, you talk with the author about it. How in the world does, if this had people proofreading it, not a single person went up to her and said, wow, why would you include the dog story in there? And yeah, that's, and the goat too. Why would you kill the dog and the goat in the book? Or at the very least, says, so, okay, can you tell us the date that you met Kim Jong-un? Can you let us know the date of that? That will help us out, and then we can be ready with press materials. No, you can't remember that? Well, if you can't remember when you met him, maybe we shouldn't include that in the book. Oh, and by the way, why would you compare the children from your church group to a North Korean dictator, calling them tyrants? You know, yeah. And did you take any of them to the gravel pit? Yeah, I don't know if anyone read that book. Trump reported this week he'll mingle with potential vice president running mates and wealthy Republican donors at the spring donor retreat. The meetings are likely to act as informal tryouts. The list of Republican special guests includes Marco Rubio, Tim Scott, J.D. Vance, Ellie Stefanik, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, and South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. I still think, well, Burgum's getting a lot of attention. I think it's going to be Noem or Vance. Also expected to attend the House Speaker Mike Johnson, Byron Donalds of Florida, some other people as well. So, but yeah, there. Don't be surprised if there's a backlash and they say Noem has to be the VP nominee. We'll take a break, come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Had a friend send me I feel sorry for the conservatives. It is amazing to me how people can, on one side, a person can hear something positive about something, someone else, and say, hey, congratulations, that's wonderful news, great job. On the other side, I weep for the souls of the individual that when someone says something positive happened to them, they basically pull a Gollum and say, how dare you?
I didn't get that. Why did you get that?
This was a tweet from some hag, conservative hag. At work today, my liberal manager says, our President Biden sent me an email and my student loan for arts has been canceled. OMG! I had to bite my tongue. Everyone was excited, but me being the only conservative, get this, not only are they forgiving arts degrees, they're refunding a payment that she had been made. She's getting $21,000 back. What the actual blank is that? So they're not only canceling debt, they're refunding? I saw the email. Every taxpayer and person who paid for college should be livid right now because don't know about refunding, so please share. Please share. Now, first of all, it sounds like the individual that got this, they're referring to a specific program that actually was instigated in 2000, but they've just, Biden streamlined it and got the money to them, the individuals, faster. So it's not like they're getting refunded. This is money that they shouldn't have had to pay. So it's I guess it's a refund, but at the same time, it's not like new money. I talked earlier this week about how broken Republicans are, because not only is it that Trump validates the worst of them, and for that they love him for it, it's that they just have a natural hatred for things they don't like that are there. I mean, let's be honest. Being a Democrat means I'm not sitting here saying cheap health care just for me. I'm saying cheap health care for a lot of people. That's what I want. When I'm saying feed the hungry, I'm not saying the ones that only swear to support Joe Biden. If you're hungry, I don't care what your background is. Get them some food. This person here, I look at this, I think it's fantastic. I don't sit there and say, the liberal got this, because I can tell you right now, a lot of conservatives got this too. Because Joe Biden doesn't care about a litmus test. You do. And so I paid for my college. I did. I paid for daycare for my kids. I did. Absolutely. I scrimped and saved. I served 4 years in the U.S. Army to help pay for my military, for my college through the military. I don't regret a single dime spent. I don't regret my life. I've led a good life, and I'm very happy. I see this sort of thing, and I say, what is your life like? That, I didn't get that benefit, so nobody gets that benefit. Seriously. How broken of a human being do you have to be to have to sit there and just, someone has good news. Hey, I got good news. I hate you. I hate you. Seriously, Anakin. Sorry about the legs. That's cold. Jump higher next time. You got to lead with your toes. Off you go. Well, not really. We'll have someone come by and pick you up. Happy May 4th to May 4th to you tomorrow, by the way. There's my Star Wars reference. What is wrong with you people? Seriously, what is wrong with you? How are you? You claim to be Christians. Christianity, and once again, my disclaimer, you do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do. I'm Christian myself. Go to church fairly regularly. I like church. I like the story. I have a personal relationship with God. I'm cool with that, man. And you guys claim to be the best, superest, most bestest Christians ever. And yet, you don't feel joy or happiness. You're just angry because I didn't get that benefit. And the truth is this, even if you did get that benefit, you'd be the one person out there screaming, I got it, but no one else gets it. It's only for me, because I'm the big, tough girl, work really hard, tough girl, me, no one else. And because that's the whole point of it, isn't it? I mean, this is kind of the stupidity of the modern Republican. This modern Republican has this mentality that somehow they're going to cut Social Security for everyone else but themselves. That they're going to cut Medicaid and Medicare for everyone else but themselves. That Donald Trump's going to get in office, and then what he's going to do is going to go kick all those liberals out of their houses, and I'm going to get their house, and I'm going to get their stuff, and I'm going to get all their money, and I'm going to live. I'm going to get DoorDash, and I'm going to get a burrito, and it's going to be the most awesome thing because I'm going to be the biggest winner ever. That's what they think. They're broken people. I look at this tweet. And I just weep for this individual. I weep for their family. Sweet Jesus. Can you imagine what it's like to be around this person? That basically something good happens and she's, almost violently so against it. You can't say congratulations because a liberal got it. How dare. This is the same person who, if 50 times as much money was given to a profitable company and millionaire, billionaire executives, she'd be screaming, that's a good investment. Now pay it back, Democrats. You can't help this. You can't. You can't change it. You can't put out the strongly worded memo that's going to bring them around, and I'll win the day. No, that's not going to happen. These people are broken. Because once again, the first thing, Donald Trump validated the negativity these people thrive in, and because of that, they love him for it. And the idea for them to have to now go look in the mirror and say, I'm the one that's been blanking up my life, is so terrifying for them that they will, this is where they're at. We need to defeat this crap once and for all this year. Chicago, have a great weekend. Minneapolis, St. Paul, hour two up next. Hour two of the show here on your Friday, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. You know, there is something with the Twins. When they have a day off, they say that Byron Buxton's knee is going to get tested here. We'll let you know how he's doing. And you don't hear anything at all until right before the game they've got coming up tonight. And Patrick, you've got some breaking news, or is it just what we expect?
Probably more what we expect. Byron Buxton is on the injured list. Austin Martin has been called back up.
What's the injury and how long is he gone for?
Did it just says right knee inflammation, which probably could mean a lot of things.
My guess is, yeah. How long is he going to be gone for? Is it an All-Star game now? He's Mr. Frickin' Glass! And this is a problem with this team. They look at these guys, and there's a reason why they're able to get these guys and keep these guys. And because I think other teams look at them and they're saying, I wouldn't trust that knee. I wouldn't trust that leg. I mean, God. I mean, I'm at the point where it's, you know, maybe we forget about Byron Buxton and forget about Royce Lewis because they're just never going to have full seasons in health. I mean, they're making what happened to Joe Mauer look like, he played at Cal Ripken Jr., for God's sakes. And reminder that, you know, Mauer, as dominant as he was, once the knees, and it's just what happens with catchers, you know, the knees started going out. I mean, he started having the health problems. It's very rare when you see a catcher that goes 20, 25 years. That just doesn't happen. You know, he can't not injure himself. And so my guess is, I think it's just knowing Byron Buxton, knowing this freaking program, wait for him to return 3 days before the end of the season, play one at bat and take off the rest of the season. And that's it, because he's not dependable. You cannot be the best player on this team if you're constantly on injured reserve. You're constantly out. And I'm sorry. When my daughter had her tore both her ACLs, one of the things after the second one, they said, well, sometimes you're predetermined for this. And this is back when that nurse told us, I've had six ACL tears. Six! I mean, that's telling you something at that point, isn't it? I'm sorry that you are predestined for injury, Byron, but you're no good to us sitting there clapping really hard on the bench, if you even are there. Like I said, my guess, we won't see Byron Buxton until after the All-Star game, maybe not even until August. Just that's the way he is. He's a fragile man. He's fragile. He's Mr. Glass. It is the most appropriate nickname I've ever come up with in my entire life. He is Mr. Glass. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Should remind you, we do have something special for you here on a Friday. Well, not just me. Wanda Sykes. Now that is special. Wanda Sykes is coming in to the Orpheum Theater on Saturday, November 16th. It's the Wanda Sykes Please and Thank You Tour. The Hennepin Theater Trust.org has got information on if you want to get tickets for that. You should. She's fantastic and she's hilarious. She is absolutely hilarious. She's definitely one of the top five funniest people in this country right now, hands down. Wanda Sykes is hilarious. You can go see her. Once again, go get tickets Saturday, November 16th at the Orpheum, or sometime this hour, I shall give away a pair of tickets to go see Wanda Sykes in November. Listen for your chance to call in. Not now. No, no, no. Bad listener. Bad listener. I can't say the joke that just came to mind, but it had to do with Christy Noem. So you can go, never mind. My bad. Listen for your chance to call in on that. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I did beat up on the New York Times as they deserve, and let's just be honest about that. But they did do, this is from Bring Me the News, had the report that they came on out and they've been doing this thing where they go around and they tour a city and kind of give a little data, update on it. And they came to Minneapolis recently for, this is from Bring Me the News, for the travel feature in the newspaper's long-running 36-hour series. Minneapolis, with more than a dozen lakes and a sprawling urban park system, appeals not only to outdoorsy types, but also travelers seeking a robust cultural scene, top-notch restaurants, and fun bars and breweries. By Ingrid K. Williams begins. Who was it that wrote, they did a visit to Minneapolis and they went to Potbelly? Remember that? They went to a chain restaurant.
I don't remember that, but it's good to know that they've already visited Maple Grove.
Oh, there you go. Well, no, they went. I think they went to the one that used to be down in IDS in the Crystal Court down there. You can't, you know, it's easy, convenient. I mean, this is also the same newspaper that said the quintessential Thanksgiving side dish in Minnesota is grapes. Was grapes. Grapes. Anyway. But they're trying to make up for it. The recommended itinerary includes a Saturday morning loop around the lake, noting locals prefer the lakes over a stroll along the Mississippi River. Well, yeah, you go around a lake. You know, if you're going to try to go around the river, you're going to be hiking for a while. And that's a long, and you're going to need a bridge at some point. I mean, it's easy to go to the north. If you go to the north, you'll be back in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe. If you go north, but if you go south, you're going to be you're committing yourself there. Good luck, Forrest Gump. Minneapolis visitors are also recommended to skip the massive Mall of America in favor of a trip to Open Book and other unique spots. Now, I will say this: Mall of America is still pound for pound shockingly good at bringing people in. I was wrong. I didn't think it would be that big. It's massive.
I think it's one of those tourist traps that you just kind of, well, if you see it for a day, if you never have to go back. But I think it's one of those kinds of tourist traps.
When I was in Chicago and I was at Second City, and one of the comedians made the point, she goes, oh, you guys have your deep dish pizza? Good. It's the only time we ever eat that is when someone comes into town. And I said, well, that makes sense. I mean, when I had the kids when I was younger, and it would be winter out, I'd take them over to the Mall of America just to walk around. You could, that was a great place to take kids and let them run around in winter. Fantastic. But since my kids are now older and wouldn't want to be seen at the mall with me, I'd be, Typhoid Mary, for God's sakes. I don't go to the mall that often. I go occasionally, but it's generally kind of it's going to a specific store, getting in, getting out pretty quick. It is a fantastic venue. It really is. And, yeah, there's a lot of people that come into town that want to go to the Mall of America. God bless them. Off you go. I think it's, trust me, when you look at the cost of a day ticket to Disneyland or Disney World, Mall of America is a freaking value and a half. Come on.
The entry fee is nothing.
It's zero.
You don't even have to buy anything.
You park for free. You walk in for free. You can't deny that that's got some applicability. But I get what the Times was doing with this. Here are their recommendations. Key stops, High Point Center for printmaking, Awamni, the Open Book and Marty's Deli attractions, Berlin, Mixed Blood, Lake of the Isles, Bademakoska, Bryant Lake Bowl, and the Walker Art Center. No duh, that sounds like a fun weekend. Restaurants, Spoon and Stable, Meteor, Lonnie Bread, Indeed Brewing, Pyre's Brewing, Kim's and Bronto Bar, Milkweed Editions. These are the galleries and shops. Milkweed Editions, Minnesota Center for Book Arts, the Weinstein Hammonds Gallery, Northern Clay Center, All My Relations Gallery, the Northrop King Building. If you have not been to the Northrop King Building, that is sensational. Where to stay? The feature recommends visitors book a room at the Four Seasons, the Hayward Hotel, or which is that's the one right off where 394 dumps you right onto Washington. That's right there. or Element downtown Minneapolis, or find a short-term rental in the Warehouse District. I remember when they did Butler Square in the Warehouse District, and everyone's like, "What are you doing? No one's over there." For getting around, the feature mentions the light rail system and states parking is relatively easy for those who drive a car. Taxis, buses, and rideshares are also noted, with reference to the impending departure of Uber and Lyft over the city's new ordinance requiring higher pay. They haven't left yet, have they? A resilient city primed for discovery and is most welcoming in springtime when nature blooms and community events come to life. They took a few nice pictures out there. They went to the Guthrie up on that, was it the 8th or 9th floor there at the Guthrie, where they have the nice view of the river up there in the yellow room. Hey, you guys, I guess you still have to fill up your tourism, your sports, and your art section, and I'm glad you came to Minnesota, but you guys are still broken, man. You guys are still broken. Speaking of which, it's time for my daily, oh, good, guns suck story of the day. This is becoming a story we are, oh, God, this is happening way too much. A teenage pizza delivery driver who parked in the wrong driveway of a Middle Tennessee home is recovering from a scare. Not dead, thank God, just got scared after police said a homeowner shot at him multiple times. The shooting took place Monday night on a residential street in Ashland City, about 20 miles northwest of Nashville. According to a criminal complaint obtained by USA Today, Ashland City Police Department officers responded to a home for a report of a teenage Domino's pizza driver who'd been shot at least 7 times. You're lucky he didn't get hit, for goodness sakes. Arriving officers, once again, good guy with a gun. Good guy with a gun. Wait, he shot at a pizza delivery driver? Well, he wasn't a good guy. I know I said he was a good guy 5 seconds ago, but now he's the bad guy with a gun. Ah, I see. So you're just pulling this out of your caboose. I see. All right. Got it. No problem. Arriving officers located the shooting suspect, who told them he and his wife saw a truck parked in their driveway on the Ring camera and thought someone was breaking into his truck, police wrote in the complaint. Okay. The suspect, was he carrying a pizza, sir? Okay. The suspect said he got his 9mm handgun, went outside, and began shooting at the truck to try to disable it. Oh, dear Lord.
I mean, those big Domino's things on top of the roof are hard to miss. Did he not see that?
Well, I think this is someone else, their own private truck. But this is a guy who thinks shooting a car is like John McClane. All you have to do is, you know, the one guy with a gun can stop a car barreling at them. All they have to do is just shoot it a few times. You wonder why. You wonder why Christy Noem thought, hey, the shooting the dog in the face story, that's going to really win over the American public. It's because he's talking to this guy's probably like, she shot the dog in the face. Isn't that great? There is dogs I would wish I could shoot. Where's my nearest gravel pit? Police said they recovered 7 shell casings from the scene. The victim told police he was delivering a pizza, thought he parked in the correct driveway. After he dropped the order off, he saw a man running at him and shooting at him. Ah, so now all of a sudden it's not, they were breaking in my car. I was trying to try to disable the vehicle. All of a sudden now he's running after him with a gun. A pizza delivery driver. I'm going to take a guess here. Alcohol was involved. I'm going to guess that this individual had a few drinks. By the way, during this story, if you look at the story, I'll post it up from Yahoo News. This is sad. This is just insane. They also have a link to the story from upstate New York where the man got who killed Kalen Gillis for a wrong turn into a driveway, sent up to 25 years to life. Doesn't bring back the guy. But, yeah, the guns everywhere. Sure working great, you freaking clowns, isn't it? Dear Lord. 3 bullets struck the victim's truck. Okay, let's go back to what you just said, Patrick. How do you, If you have any this is why there's got to be alcohol involved. If you have any competency at all, it's a truck. How are you missing? You only hit it three times? And please tell me there weren't like kids or anything on the streets when you started opening fire on this car. Three bullets struck the victim's truck. The police reported the shooting was captured on the Ring camera footage police said they reviewed. Nothing close to what I thought would happen on that delivery. I'll say that. The victim, an 18-year-old high school student, told the TV station, I was literally about to get killed right here, so it's attempted murder in my opinion. The victim and most of the houses on the street are only a few feet from each other. It's one of those neighborhoods. We all know those, you know, where they just jam a bunch of houses in and, you know, you basically have your lawn on the one side is one stripe with the mower. He told the outlet he accidentally parked in the next door in correct home where someone ordered the food. Police say they arrested the 32-year-old Ryan Babcock in the shooting and prosecutors charged him with felony aggravated assault in the case. The attorney on record has not been listed for him yet. Cheatham County General Sessions court records show Babcock was booked on jail on Monday, released the following day on $50,000 bond. He's set to appear in court in his first appearance on June 12th. Once again, their narrative, not mine. Good guy with a gun. No, he's a bad guy with a gun. Well, do you have any requirements for him to get the gun? No. Do you have any demands that he goes through any kind of training to get the gun? No. He's just good guy with gun. Good guy with gun. Got good guy with gun. He shot at somebody, a pizza guy. He's bad guy with gun. He shouldn't have had a gun. See, your world sucks. And it should be, if I can take a quick moment, time to point out all these Republicans who basically sat there and said, after the Burnsville shooting, we stand with law enforcement. We're going to straw up these straw orders. We're going to make people make sure they're store guns safely, that you can't, you're going to close these loopholes. All that stuff, lies. 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 They have no intention of fixing any of these, any of these rules, you know, these loopholes out there. None whatsoever. As a matter of fact, someone sent me, the one guy here, State Representative Mike Weiner opposes a gun storage bill because people die at home for other reasons, from choking, falling down, poisoning, and freezing to death. Are we passing laws to prevent deaths from that? Are we making sure bathtubs are 2 inches high? You're a dumbass, sir. With all due respect, I'm not going to give you any respect. You're a dumbass. Is the gun freezing them to death? No. Are they choking on the gun? No. Are they being poisoned? Well, lead poisoning, but a quick version of it, yes. You guys are all hacks. You're all hacks. When a cop is shot, all of a sudden, we care about cops, we're going to do this. But all of a sudden, you have the chance to vote on a bill to fix the thing. You're not thinking about the poor little gun. Why aren't you thinking about the gun? The gun's such an innocent thing. Your guns everywhere world sucks. It sucks. And you're broken people. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll get to some other things when I do come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on your Friday.
Could have been a little less strange that night. I was feeling down and my mood wasn't right.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Victory! Convention Grill's reopening again, man. Oh, yes! It is. I got to tell you, my dad took me there for years. I sat in every booth and every chair in that place. My dad used to come on out when he was at the University of Minnesota, and they'd come on out to meet the country girls at the convention. It gives you an idea how long he'd been coming on out there. Ugh. Nature is healing. Nature is healing. I do want to mention this story out of Duluth. A Duluth man believed to have repeatedly scrawled the word plunger on public and private buildings has been charged with felony-level damage to property and fleeing a police officer. Mason Kenneth Mansow, 22, made his first court appearance in St. Louis County Court on Thursday, who was released without bail. His next hearing is May 28th. According to the criminal complaint, a witness saw Mansell write plunger on two places outside the downtown bar, Linbrew Pub, in early April. A Duluth police officer tried to talk to him, and Mansell initially ran off. He stopped, was arrested. Mansell had blue paint on his hands and blue markers in his bag, which matched the color used at the one place. Mansell was released so law enforcement could conduct further investigations into hundreds of other pieces of plunger graffiti around the city, according to the complaint. They reportedly have been getting calls about plunger defacements on both public and private property since February. The word plunger plunger was written six times in black and blue at the Technology Village parking ramp, and surveillance video showed a man with similar characteristics to Mansell. Total damage of $1,300. Plunger was written in the Duluth Transit Center, including on its tile walls. Repairs cost $57. $57. Damn it. Plunger is written. Is this criminal? Or is it the fact that you need a better interior designer? I think maybe that's actually the Duluth Transit Center needs an upgrade. Plunger is written outside the Duluth Family Sauna and a wall near Duluth Coffee Company and a wall in a vacant downtown lot. Early this year, the police department asked residents to be on the lookout for the plunger artist and said his work appeared between Woodland Neighborhood and downtown Duluth. The city of Duluth said it covered the word at least 30 times in recent history. Cost were upward of $550. He does not have a criminal record in his adulthood. Well, that's about to change. Okay. I don't know if this is someone trying to be a Bansky and trying to be unique.
Yeah, the other thing that I was wondering when you said, oh, well, they've covered it up at least 32 times, so that implies there's a database that they cover up these words this amount of times. And now I'm wondering what else they cover
We now go to the Duluth Police Department. Plunger Man is struck again. When will we stop this crime spree? Hey, my daughter came back from UMD this week. I'm just glad it wasn't her. So it's like she's a little bit of a rebel, so love her. She's definitely going to be my politician, that's for sure. Now, there's clearly something going on here, sir. I really do hope that I do think you need to explain to us what plunger means. Does it mean something? People liberating undergarments near greater eternal revelation? I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm just trying to come up. That's off the top of my head. Plunger. Are you the plunger man? Is this like the bat signal for plunger man? I mean, it really is, as far as like a crime fighting sort of thing. It really is kind of unique. You're more kind of a plumber at that point. The plunger man. This is not going to go away. I mean, hey, $57, dude. You know, pay up. That being said, you're going to have to. My guess is you're going to be going. You might go to jail for this. At the very least, you're going to be doing some city cleanup work. Maybe even painting over a few things. But you, for the life of us, if anyone ever does figure out what he was doing, writing plunger on things, what plunger means, is it just he's a fan of plungers? Is it some sort of, kind of perverse reference to the Daleks? We'll have to figure that out. Let us know. I have to know why this guy was running around putting plunger everywhere. I've got to know why. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Come back. Hey, we got, I wanted to touch on the Minnesota Reformer story, talking about, workers' rights and stuff like that. And, the fact that we're making some headway, but we are also getting some lawsuits. I'll get into that here in just a second. And reminder, Wanda Sykes tickets sometime before the end of the show, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on your Friday. Love this band. Rory Danger and the Danger Dangers. Good stuff. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Hey, guess what? Wanda Sykes is coming into town on Saturday, November 16th. It's the Wanda Sykes Please and Thank You Tour at the Orpheum Theater in Minneapolis. Once again, that is happening on November 16th. I've got a pair of tickets right now to go see Wanda Sykes in November at the Orpheum. Caller number 5, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Caller number 5, you're going to get a pair of tickets to Wanda Sykes. Good luck on that. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. So, I wanted to get into a story here from the Reformer. And it's a lovely, you know, workers roundup of the laws that are going on out there. By the way, I did try to get Rick Smith. I was going to see if Rick was going to be available to come on and talk about this issues because it has to do a lot with union stuff. But, you know, unfortunately he was working today, so it's not going to happen. But I did find this stuff interesting. Speaking at a national conference for union construction workers in D.C. last week, Walls touted Minnesota's new ban on companies forcing employees to attend anti-union presentations. Those captive anti-union meetings, you go to jail now if you do that in Minnesota because you can't intimidate people, Wall said, earning him a standing ovation from the packed ballroom at North America's Building and Trade Unions Conference. Agreed. I don't think that you go work for a company that should not mean you are forced in there to hear an anti-union screed. And so I don't think that's fair. No business owner can actually be imprisoned for making employees sit through an anti-union presentation, although workers are now empowered to sue the employers for damages and attorney's fees if they're forced to attend such a meeting. The ban, which passed last year with a slew of other work-friendly legislation, was a major victory for unions and labor advocates. They long argued that making workers listen to anti-union presentations under the threat of discipline gives managers an unfair advantage in organizing campaigns and violates workers' rights to organize free from coercion. Because I think that that is definitively what you're looking at. It's coercion against the workers. But the ban actually may be short-lived if a lawsuit brought by two trade associations succeeds in overturning the law as unconstitutional. The lawsuit was filed against Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison and Department of Labor and Industry Commissioner Nicole Blissenbach in federal court in February by the Minnesota chapter of the Associated Builders and Contractors and the National Federation of Independent Business and Lake Town Electric Corporation. They argue the law violates the U.S. Constitution's protections of free speech and equal protection. I mean, you can have a meeting. I mean, I guess the question here is this. So you say to everyone, hey, by the way, after work today, we're going to have some free sub sandwiches and some drinks in the conference room, and we're going to have a presentation that why we disagree with unions. You can come on in there and enjoy it if you like. I think your freedom of speech isn't violated there. The question here is, do you have a right to force people to listen to your freedom of speech? Now, with this Supreme Court, my guess is the whole goal is to get it up there for them to basically say, yep, you can force people into freedom. Freedom of speech means you can force people into having to listen to it. But they, you know, I don't think it violates your free. You bring in sandwiches and subs. I guarantee you some people will take advantage of, even if they're pro-union, they'll take advantage of going to your presentation. You know, do you have a right to force people to listen to your presentation under the threat of punishment if they don't? Adam Hansen, the president of the Minnesota chapter of Associated Builders and Contractors, compared the ban to a captive audience meetings to the Stop Woke Act championed by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. That law restricted workplace trainings on diversity, equity, and inclusion was ruled unconstitutional by a federal appeals court, which held it violated businesses' First Amendment rights. Essentially, it's the same type of thing. It's a government telling employers that they can and cannot say. Actually, no, it's not the same kind of thing. A company basically saying, oh, by the way, we should mention this. Patrick, You do have our winner, so you can stop calling Patrick and harassing Patrick right now. Who is our winner?
Aaron in Minneapolis, congratulations. He's on his way to see Wanda Sykes in November.
Aaron in Minneapolis, congratulations. All our best. Wanda Sykes, go catch her in November at the Orpheum. She is fantastic. I love her. Love Wanda Sykes. Anyway, all right. So that is a very different thing. I mean, so a company basically having training on equity so someone doesn't get sued for violating someone's rights when they come in to order a freaking burrito is one thing. To basically go out of your way and say, well, we're going to force you to have to listen to a anti-union presentation. I mean, it's basically saying there is a difference between having meetings which prevent a company from getting sued versus a company that just doesn't agree with something and forcing all their clients, their employees in to listen to it. I mean, it'd be the same thing as it forcing people to have to go to an anti-vax hearing at a business. You basically have to tell, you know, you have to show up and listen to this anti-vax presentation or you're fired. It's not the same thing. At least I don't see it as the same thing. I'm pretty sure the Supreme Court will say, yeah, okay, fine. Force them to listen. In the lawsuit, Lake Town Electric says it's one of the fastest growing companies in Minnesota. It's frequently targeted by union organizing efforts, creating the need to communicate lawfully with its employees on the important topic. Okay, notice how they communicate lawfully means, you know, like I said, I'm not talking about, you can say, hey, after work today, we're going to have free sandwiches and drinks in the conference room, and we're going to have a presentation on why we think unions are a bad thing. Come on by. Nothing's stopping you from doing that. It's that when you're in the office and you're forcing people in there to have to listen to it. The company says it also needs, and by the way, are you saying factual things? Are you saying factual things? Are you lying? I don't know. I mean, how are you presenting this anti-union screed? Is it, it's going to be the biggest mistake of your life? Is that when, you know, you kind of get all that rhetoric and hubris in there? Or, you know, is it just a straightforward, you know, plug-in tape presentation from some company or something? I don't know. I'm just asking. Company says it also needs to communicate with workers about proposed legislation and regulations that could affect their industry. Once again, there is nothing, you know, notice how he's trying to add that in there and just sort of say, and by the way, and once again, you're a company. Hey, by the way, tonight we're going to do a barbecue tomorrow. We're going to have hot dogs and hamburgers. And by the way, bring the kids on out. Everyone gets to eat for free. And, oh, by the way, we're going to have a presentation on the new bills that are up for votes in the legislature and what we feel about them. That comes. Nothing's stopping you from doing that. There's this absolutist mentality you're having that the only way you can do this is by basically forcing people to have to listen to it. Your freedom of speech is fully intact. It's not about that. It's about, does freedom of speech mean forcing people to have to listen? Because the way I've understood freedom of speech is that's not the same thing. Once again, though, that Supreme Court, I have zero doubt that they'll come down on this against this. The non-union contractors also argue that the state law is preempted by National Labor Relations Act, which guarantees private sector rights to unionize. Funny that the bill that they're trying to stop them from being anti-union, they basically say the pro-union bill is what gives them the right to do this. All right. After the National Labor Relations Act was passed in 1935, the government initially considered captive audience meetings to be prohibited under the law, but Congress passed the Taft-Hartley Act in 1947, overriding a presidential veto to do so, and added free speech protections for employees to the NLRA. The next year, the National Labor Relations Board, which enforces the law, said the practice was permissible. The National Labor Relations Board General Counsel Jennifer Abruzzo, who was appointed by President Biden, has asked the board to reverse their decision and reinstate the ban nationwide. She issued a memo in 2022 arguing the NLRB's previous decision wrongly gave employers the license to coerce, which is an anomaly in the labor law, inconsistent with the protections of employees' free choice and based on fundamental misunderstandings of employers' right speech. okay, if I can take a quick step back and just point out the obvious. So we are supposedly a free country, right? You put out your argument why you disagree with the union. Let the other side come on in and make their argument on why they should vote for the union, right? You put those two things together. And then you let the people decide. Why is that such a threat to you? I mean, if you truly are treating your employees well, they're getting paid fair market wages, they're getting benefits, then you're making the argument right there of why the union doesn't need to come on into the shop, right? Correct? So what's the problem? I mean, I'm not trying to be glib. I'm just asking. That's a legit question. They put out their argument. You put out your argument. If you think you're treating your employees well, if you think they're going to be getting a fair wage, if you think that they're getting good benefits, if you think that, you know, the way you treat your employees negates the need for a union right there, well, fine. You can vote all unions like. You lost again? Okay. Good luck next time. I want you to just think about what I just said there and kind of draw it to a national conclusion. That's just my thought on it. If the National Labor Relations Board does decide to reinstate a nationwide ban on captive audience meetings, it would be undone by the conservative supermajority of the U.S. Supreme Court if a legal challenge to the ban came from them. The NLRB also faces broader challenges in its authority. Major corporations, including Amazon, SpaceX, Starbucks, and Trader Joe's, have argued the NLRB is unconstitutional while fending off allegations of unfair labor practices. Trust me when I say there are people in this country right now that want to get us back to a day where you get a quarter for a day's worth, a 12-hour workday, and then if you complain about it, you're just not working hard enough. Trust me. The amount of people that want to abuse the workers of this country is disturbing. But for them, they want a jet ski. For them, they want a second vacation home. They want to go and pretend they're big wheeler dealers in Vegas. That's what they want. And you look at these companies that are trying to get rid of this. Heaven forbid we have workers' rights and workers' protections. That Supreme Court, once again, why do you vote every freaking election? Because that Supreme Court is probably going to take us back to pre-1920s America. They probably will. And this has been a long-standing goal. This is that long game stuff that the right has been working to undo for a century. And they never thought they'd get this close, and now they got the Supreme Court to do it. You should be grateful for what you've got for workers' rights. I mean, I've talked about this with the nurses union, and when you have these hospitals where there's an intense amount of pressure to deunionize, the argument they make is, well, because the other hospitals nearby are unionized, well, we can't really drop our rates and benefits. And by the way, I should mention from the nurse friends I've had, they've said, oh, no, it definitely gets worse at these non-union places. This idea that things aren't going to get worse, well, they definitely get worse, but too many people are reluctant to go back to the union because they don't want to admit they were wrong. Not every business needs a union. I will say this. I mean, I think there are a lot of businesses out there that treat their employees pretty well. I really do. And, you know, there's a lot of people I've known who are both conservatives and liberals as far as business owners who do treat their employees very well, pay them very well, give them good benefits. They realized a long time ago that if you want to keep good workers, you need to pay them well and you need to give them good benefits. And they find a good worker and they make sure they get good pay and they get good benefits. They're not afraid of a union vote because a union vote's never going to happen there. The people that generally are against these sort of things are the people who are terrified of a union vote. Not all the time. I'm just saying, my experience has been the people that generally are against stuff like this, against the unions, are the people that are terrified of a union vote, or the people that want to undo every labor law we have. And there's a handful of unions left that are preventing them from doing that. And what they're now trying to do is basically just say, you don't have a right to be a union at all. You don't have a right to unionize. So, Ellison, who's defending the state, by the way, has moved to dismiss the lawsuit, arguing the business groups don't have standing. The State Department of Labor and Industry doesn't have the power to enforce the law, and the Office of the Attorney General is not enforcing the law, nor has any present intention to. Ellison's office also notes the court filings that it's mainly up to workers to enforce the law, although suing their employers for violations. The judge has not yet ruled on the state motion to dismiss the lawsuit. Ellison's office declined to comment for the record. Hansen, the non-union contractors association, said businesses shouldn't have to wait to be sued by a worker to challenge the law they think is unconstitutional. And while businesses may still hold voluntary meetings with workers to discuss their views on unions, he said the law has been a chilling effect on businesses. Chilling effect? Really? Okay. Once again, you yourself kind of found the hole in your argument that I did, which is while businesses still may hold voluntary meetings with workers. Okay. Can I just say this? Offer them sandwiches and drinks, man. You'll get a good chunk of the office to show up. Trust me. Trust me. You'll get, you know, pizza. I'm there. And, you know, but Patrick, let's be honest. If the grand poobah here at the station had free pizzas for a seminar on why we should sell our kidneys, I'll be up there. Hey, man, they got a pizza. I'm all there, man.
Yeah, just show me where the ice bath is.
I'll eat the pizza. Can I eat the pizza in the ice bath? All right, great. Seriously, free food, man. You'll get them in there. It doesn't affect your business. I just don't. Yeah. Minnesota is one of seven states to enact a ban on captive audience meetings, including Connecticut. States' rights! Well, not that state's right! Which is also defending the constitutionality of the lawsuit brought by trade groups. Isn't it funny to see how the conservatives, how they change their argument on any states' rights rule? Well, not that state right! I find it rich that they're embracing the law that created unions to try to argue that they should be able to argue against unions. Yeah, okay. Oregon, which is the first to enact the law in 2010, lawsuits have failed to nullify the ban, but the union lawyer there told Bloomberg the law has had basically zero effect. So, I mean, there you go. I do not think we should have a situation where a person goes into work that day, says, we're not meeting that day. You need to go over there and check into conference room B because you're going to be there and you're going to be there for the entire day. And you're going to be there and you need to be paying attention. You need to be taking notes. And if you don't do that, well, then, you know, you're going to be disciplined. I don't think that's conducive. And the argument I would say is this too. If you're paying your workers really well, if you're giving them a lot of benefits, I know a lot of people that don't have a union shop, and that's how they treat their people, and no one's ever there talking about getting a union in. I'm just saying. That's just my – you generally don't have to worry about those things if people are getting paid the fair market wage and they're getting the standard benefits that most people in the market are getting. They have a tendency of going away at that point. But then again, I've seen what some red states have done to their workers. I mean, was it Florida? You can't take a water break. They won't allow you to take water breaks anymore in Florida. Just unbelievable. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. I got some dancing to do this weekend. It's the Matt McNeil Show on your Friday.
Cause you gotta show up if we're gonna blow up. Come and hold your torches in the sky until we light.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I should mention, by the way, and also in this great Minnesota Reformer breakdown of worker issues here. Nearly 40 immigrant workers have sued a vegetable farm in federal court, alleging they were denied water and restroom breaks while working 17-hour days without overtime pay. The workers who came from Honduras, Mexico, and the Dominican Republic on farm worker visas say they were only allowed to go to a grocery store once every 15 days. This is abuse. And by the way, how cowardly is it all these county attorneys out there? That you're having people, human beings, being treated as badly as these human beings are being treated. But God forbid, as Christians, you guys going out there and do what you need to do to keep them safe. Unbelievable. I'll post that whole story a little bit later on. We got the clean version of the Olivia Rodrigo song here. I'm just asking that one. There we go. Obsessed. This takes us out. Have a fantastic weekend. We will be back on a Monday. Till then, see ya. I told you how much I think about her. You'd think I was in love. And if you knew how much I looked at her pictures, you would think we're best friends. Cause I know her stars shine. I know she's been asleep on my side of your bed, and I can feel it. I'm staring at her like I wanna get hurt. She's got those hips, the life of every party. She's talented, she's good with kids, she even speaks kindly about me.